Good morning, everybody. Great to see you. We're all kids at heart, aren't we? When I do this at school, all go, oh, when I pull this off. So, you ready? Oh, that's it. That's the way. So, Easter. What a great time. But I want to do a Bible reading first. I think if we can stick it up on the on here. And okay, let's have a look. When I was a teenager, one of the preachers that we had once said, the most important thing we do in a church is to read the Bible, because God speaks when we read the Bible. So so let's listen to God speaking, and then you can listen to me speaking. Perhaps I might say something useful, but certainly this is going to be useful because it's straight from the Word of God. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb, how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Unbelievable. Jesus was dead. Unbelievable. He said he was going to come back. If you hit the button there, Jerry. I don't know if you can see that. Hopefully I will be able to. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices and they had prepared and went to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over into the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. But these were women doing this, and women, they probably couldn't even be trusted to give a proper account in court, and yet they're saying it was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary, mother of James, and the others with them who told the apostles. But they did not believe the women. They're women, aren't they? They didn't believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. We understand that, men. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to it. What had happened? Peter still didn't believe the women, even though he'd seen the clothes. Congregation and off. I'm going to walk out. Silly women! We thought he'd come back. Let's face it, you can't trust them. Because why does it take 2 hours to cook the Sunday? It just does! Women, they just weren't trusted. So how could you trust them? These silly women. But you know, Jesus, the Bible, see, right at the was coming. Nobody was getting. And they said, it's never going to rain. It's never rained before. So why is it going to rain? There's been a flood before. The flood came. Way out. Buried together. That doesn't happen today, because when animals die, other animals come and rip them to bits and tear them all over the place. That just doesn't happen. That had to happen. His one and only son, it rings a bell, doesn't it? This has happened hundreds of years before Jesus, but he was asked to kill and sacrifice his one and only son. But then in the background, there came a substitute, a ram. Shouldn't have said that first, but there you go. A substitute was given and replaced his son. He didn't need to kill his son, but it was a sacrifice. And from then on, Abraham was called the man of faith, who trusted God completely. There was a substitute. Jesus was our substitute. And then when it came to Daniel, of course, Daniel, he refused to pray to the king. There's only one person he was going to pray to. He prayed 3 times a day. And they said, Daniel, if you do that, we'll throw you in the lion's den. But he still prayed to God every day. Very interestingly, they put him in the lion's den and they rolled a big stone across the entrance of the lion's den. And they put a seal, and it was the king's seal, and plus other seals, but there was a king's seal right in the middle. And they sealed the tomb. There was another tomb, wasn't there, that was sealed by the authorities later on. But they sealed Daniel in the lion's den. And the king was so worried that he'd die. But what happened in the morning? They didn't move the stone. They lifted Daniel out. And Daniel, he was actually still he was still alive. The lions, of course, they were certainly there. But they didn't move the stone. They didn't move the stone to get him out. They lifted him out. Isn't that a picture of what happened to Jesus? They didn't need to move the stone to get him out. The stone was there so we could see that he wasn't in there. He came out. He was alive. He survived. They never thought Daniel would survive. And what about Jonah? Jesus said the whole Bible's about me. Well, how's this story about Jesus? Well, there he was in a fish. Anybody here like eating fish? I like eating fish. I was eating fish last night with Alan and Bailey. It was great to eat fish. Anybody like to be eaten by a fish? Well, you know, he was eaten by a fish. And, you know, the fish was very happy. But eventually he spewed him out. When did he throw him out? You know, he spewed him out 3 days later. That's interesting, isn't it? Someone's alive after 3 days. There's something going on here. There's no doubt about it. Jonah was written hundreds of years before Jesus came. There's a bit of a clue going on here. Maybe Jesus was right. Maybe it is all about him. And then, of course, just before Jesus gave his life, there was a friend of his who died. And he said, Jesus said to his friends, he's not dead. He's just sleeping. But when they got there, he was sleeping in a tomb. Man, he wasn't sleeping, he was dead. He was in the tomb. And Jesus said, move the stone away. Lazarus, come out. You know what Mary said? She'd already said, Jesus, I believe that you are the life. I believe that you have eternal life. I believe that. And on the last day, I believe that we'll all come back. But you know, don't move the stone, Jesus. He'll stink. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. But he said, Lazarus, come out. Must have been quite frightening, mustn't it? When Lazarus appeared out of the darkness in his grave clothes, he could hardly walk, pigeon stepped, but he was alive. You see, Lazarus had actually risen from the dead. All this happened. They could read it all. But what a sad time. Jesus was crucified. On Good Friday, interesting day, Good Friday. People have certainly switched on spiritually. I was in Leicester Square on Good Friday, and people were coming up just talking to us about God and about Jesus. Some of the conversations we had, I didn't even know how they started. But you know, Jesus really is alive. But you know, Good Friday was so sad because Jesus died, and there he was, and he died just the same as these two criminals who died either side of him. And Jesus, he was certainly, dead. In capital letters, he was dead. They saw it happen. They saw the terrible way that he died. How can this be the answer? How can this have happened? And now these silly women are telling us that he's come back. I can see the tomb's empty, but what have they done with him? Who's stolen his body? And then there was two of his disciples. And they were walking down the road. And they were talking about these things. They were on their way back home to Emmaus. And there they were. And another man came along and walked beside them. And there he was, walking beside them, saying, "What's the problem, guys? You look so down in the mouth. You look so sad." And I say, "Hey, you're the only person that doesn't know. Our friend, our Messiah, we thought he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And now he's dead. We're so sad. No wonder we're so sad." And what did Jesus do? Because that was Jesus. They didn't know it. They began to explain through the Bible, explaining that he had to die. Of course he was going to come back to life, but it was necessary that he was sacrificed because he was the substitute. Jesus said, "You silly men, why are you so slow of heart? Don't you understand the scriptures? It's all written down. I told you when I was around. Come on, it's all in the book. It's all about me." And then, of course, they went and they took him to their house because they were kind people, although very sad. I was listening about a kind person this morning, a person who loved his family, and he was praying. In fact, it was a lady. He was praying that his mum wouldn't die of cancer. But he's a Christian. He said, I was broken inside. I wanted God to answer the prayer now. But he said, in my heart, I knew that one day we'd all be together again. It's tough at times, isn't it? And it was tough for these people. And in the same thing, I read that, you know, the world's full of promises that are empty. Isn't it amazing that God brings us something that's empty that's full of promises? And, you know, as they took him to his house, to their house, as he broke bread, that's how they recognised him. And they realised. And instead of being sad now, man, that was a wrong word. They were overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed by joy. Death is not the end. Our Saviour has come back. They put him in the tomb. We didn't believe him. We thought the women were silly. Of course God showed it to women first. Because they get it, don't they, women? They just get it. It's us men that are so slow, so often. You know, they were even told, they were given the evidence, but the men didn't believe. We get the evidence sometimes, don't we? We still don't believe. He's alive. He did it for you, and he did it for me. I'm not going to be able to hold this. Yes, I am. I'm going to stick it in there. Oh, no pocket. That's no good. I'll try that one. Right. Here we are. Oh, that's good. Thank you. Thank you very much. My empty tomb. They put Jesus in. It was a black day. So dark. It was the end. The tomb was empty. Completely empty. But the amazing thing is this. The amazing thing is this. On Easter Day, he came out. And you know, he came out to bring joy and life and pass it back. And there he was, and he came to bring abundant joy that goes on and on and on and on and on and on. In fact, it lasts forever. I don't know if it's mine doesn't last forever. But it does go on quite a long way. You know, this joy lasts forever. He's come back to life. No wonder we're overwhelmed with joy. I hope you're overwhelmed with joy this morning. You know, Jesus is alive. He's not dead. It doesn't seem possible, does it? Jesus, he came out of the empty tomb and he left it empty. And you know, for you and me, if we trust him and give our lives to him, our tomb will be empty. You won't stay in the tomb. And you know, the Bible says he's coming back. And one day, even those in the tomb are going to rise up again. How many of these things came true? Many of them were prophesied before they happened. They did come true. The bit that hasn't happened yet in the Bible is going to come true. He's coming back. God bless you. There's a leaflet at the back. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, you know, I met someone on Friday. He said, I've just come from a church service. But he said, I'm trying to work out who Jesus is. You see, he didn't have saving faith. He hadn't said to Jesus, come in and be my Lord. And you know, there's a little prayer in the back of this, and there's some more of these at the back there. Please say that prayer. I urge you, if you've never done it before. And those of us who do know him, we need to say it again. Jesus, I commit my life to you. You've done everything. You're real. Thank you so much. God bless you.